I want to share some things with you today from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I would ask you just to pause for a moment and just pretend like you've never heard this story before. And pay attention to each word in this story. So just pause for a moment before I begin reading. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white, seated with where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Different people in this scripture, different reactions, different things happening for different people, and they're at different moments in their spiritual walk. I want you to really think today, what's your reaction to the resurrection? Deanne reminded me of a trip that we took to an art museum. I'm glad that she did. I completely had forgotten about it. And all of this one piece of art, which captivated me. I mean, it captivated me. It was a TV screen. Any of you get captivated by TV screens? But what was happening on this TV screen was people's reaction to the crucifixion and the resurrection. The only thing that was on the screen was people's actions and emotions. Many different people from many different walks of life. And I had no idea that's what it was when I was looking at it. But as I sat there and watched it go through its whole loop, it dawned on me what it was. I was like, that's people's reaction to the crucifixion and the resurrection. And then I walked up to look at the placard that was there underneath that TV to find out what the artist had done. And I was amazed that that's exactly the artist's plan. It just overwhelmed me that by sitting there and watching people's reactions, I knew exactly what they were looking at. I don't know who the artist was, but how incredibly well done that was for it to project to me what the artist had intended. Because I don't always get what the artist intends. I don't know about you, but especially with some modern art, I don't always get it. And I'm standing there questioning and going, what is that? And what do they think it is? But this one projected right at me, and I caught the whole thing. Reactions that people had from different walks of life, different races, different personalities, you could tell in looking at the folks. And what I want to look at today is there's some reactions here in this passage of Scripture. The very first reaction is that of, he's missing. It comes from Mary. And Mary is questioning, where is Jesus' body? Completely missing. Gone. How did this happen? And the only thing that Mary assumes is that someone has moved the body. That's her assumption. And her reaction is, I'm going to say, deep down, heart so low. Because not only have they lost Jesus to death, but now his body is not there anymore. And that's all she can center on at that moment in time. Gone. It affects her so much that she runs back and tells the disciples. And as I heard Misty say this morning at sunrise service, one of the times in the Scriptures that we see how real these people are. Because two of the disciples run for the tomb. What do you mean his body's gone? Peter, one of them, starting out and running towards the tomb, and the disciple that Jesus loved. That's John talking about himself. He doesn't use his own name in the Scriptures. He just refers to himself as the one who Jesus loved. Now, we do know from history that John was much younger than Peter. So it should not surprise us at all that who gets to the tomb first? And then the old guy comes straggling along. But John still shows great respect for Peter and doesn't go into the tomb. He just peeks and looks. And then Peter looks, and his reaction is total puzzlement. He is puzzled what has happened. Because you see, one of the thoughts and one of the stories that was spread is that his body was stolen or his body was moved. Well, if that had been the case, why would those who moved it or stole the body leave all the burial clothes still there? Why would they take the time to unwrap the body? And notice what it says, what was used to go over his head was folded up and set in place. If someone had stolen his body, why would that happen? But you see, Peter is totally puzzled. What has happened? And I can see Peter just kind of walking off, just as deep down in the dirt as Mary probably was when she came. And then it says that the one that Jesus loved, remember John? He looks in, and it says that he believes. John has the belief. And John says, yes, it is as Jesus said. But notice what it says right after this. Because I think John's belief is not complete yet. It's not complete enough to bring some action to him. Because it says that they had yet to understand that the scriptures already spoke about this. So I think John believed, but there was more that he needed to understand about what was going on. So he believed in his heart and he walked off going, yes, it has happened the way that he said. But still, there's another step for John later on that happens when the Holy Spirit comes. As I'm talking about these, I want to ask you, I want to pause right here for a moment. Are any of these your belief about the resurrection? The body's missing. Can't be. Didn't happen. Something strange happened here. Or is your feeling of puzzlement? I can't understand this. I can't explain this. So therefore, I don't want to deal with it. And I'm just going to walk off. Or do you have a belief that what has happened is what Jesus said would happen? I mean, he's told his disciples over and over again that this is what was going to happen. How could they not get it? Well, I'll ask this question. How many of your friends have raised from the dead? Not quite something you expect to happen, is it? Which one of these is your reaction when you look and see the empty tomb? Is it, I don't believe it, it couldn't have happened, something else has happened, there's been a conspiracy and they stole his body and moved it somewhere else so that they can say there was a resurrection? Conspiracy theories seem to be very, very popular nowadays. Or are you just puzzled? Or do you have a simple belief? You know what it says? It says that Mary comes back and looks again. She knew his body was missing, but she comes back to look again. There's something more. She knows she's got to get something more. It's not complete yet. And she looks into the tomb, and what do the angels tell her? Why are you crying? That's a question that we quite often ask other people. And then Jesus appears right there. But she still can't see him. She thinks he's the gardener. And she asks, where have you moved the body? And listen to what Mary says next. Until this week of studying this passage, I never saw that Mary asked this. Can you tell me where the body is? I will go get it. I never saw that Mary asked that. Tell me where the body is. I'll go get it. And it's when Jesus says her name, Mary, that the surprise really happens. And she gets it. You are Jesus. Now, some of you may go, why did it make a difference when he said her name? She'd heard him say it before. She'd heard how he pronounced her name before, with whatever accent he had. I'd like to think he had a southern accent because they were in the south of Israel. But I'm not real sure. But he heard she heard him speak her name, and it clicked. He's not the gardener. And she must have grabbed a hold of him. She must have done something, because what does he say? Let go of me. I still have things to do. You can't hold on to me. In other words, I'm going to say it a different way. You can't go with Jesus and sit where you are. Because Jesus is about moving on in this world. And when you just sit still, you can't move on with Jesus. The surprise just overtakes her. Now I want to ask you to think about this. How much quicker do you think it was for her to get back to the disciples the second time? I really don't think John could have beat her then. John beat Peter, but I don't think there's any way the second time in that race John would beat Mary back to the disciples. She is so surprised, and her final reaction is excitement. Is excitement. Jesus is alive. That's her final place that she's at. And I want to ask you, are you just surprised that it happened? Even though the scriptures tell us, even though Jesus told us it was going to happen, or have you reached the stage of excitement that you can't wait to go tell someone else? That's where we all should be, shouldn't we? Amen. We should be so excited. Jesus is alive. He has risen.
He's risen indeed.
Thank you, Chris. Let's try that again. Jesus is alive. He has risen. Now, can you do this? Well, not all of you, I guess. Can you get out in the world and be excited about this? Can you show people some excitement? One of the reasons I like that church triumphant song, even though it tests my voice sometimes, the church is alive also.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Maybe we need to act like we're alive. Maybe we need to have... I'm afraid of what happened over there. Was it one of my neighbors over there? Yeah, okay. It was Clara, okay. I'm almost afraid to find out what Clara had to say. What did she say? No, okay. Deanna and I came home from sunrise service to watch Clara Joy and Alec in the front yard picking up eggs. And that was quite an exciting thing to watch as we came home from sunrise service. I love those kids, and I love that they're right next door. So much joy. But the church is alive. Shouldn't we act like we're alive? Shouldn't we let people know that Jesus Christ has risen? You see, we can be back with Mary at that point in time where she says, the body's missing. And there are some people in our world that are there. I can't believe this story you tell me. The body's just missing. There are people in our world that are just totally puzzled by this whole gospel truth. And they go, I can't figure this out, and I can't reason it out, and there's no logic to the whole thing, so therefore it must not be true. And I'm not going to deal with it. You know people like that, don't you? You know some that have a little bit of belief, as John did. But we don't see John at this point in the story getting excited about things, do we? It just says he believed. Folks, there's more than just believing. There's being surprised by it did happen. And there's excitement of going out and telling other people and not holding it back. And what happens when we don't tell other people this story? The scriptures say that they will not go to heaven. And I just want to ask you, will you let that happen? It's not your job to get people saved, but it is your job to tell the story about Jesus Christ. That he died on the cross for us, and that he was resurrected, and he is alive right now. Are you that excited to go tell people? Are you that excited? I met a young man one day that was that excited. It took me by surprise. I was in Walmart in the paint department. And for those of you that know me, that's a weird place for me to be in Walmart. I helped my wife paint once. And I got it so right that she's never asked me to do it again. And I'm so glad I got it right the first time. And from around the corner comes this young man, and he looks at me and he asks me, are you a Christian and do you know about Jesus Christ? I was like, wow. And he probably looked at me going, this guy needs Jesus Christ. And I said, yes, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior back in the 80s. And now I'm a pastor. And his excitement got even higher as he walked off to go ask somebody else. Are we that excited that we're going to make sure the people we meet know Jesus Christ? Are we that excited? Or are we so busy with our life that we don't have time to tell other people? Because here's what I'm going to say. If you're that busy, you need to stop doing some things. Because God has asked the church to be as excited as Mary was and to run somewhere to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is alive. So I'm going to ask you, what's your feeling about the resurrection? I gave you 5 different reactions today. You're probably in the midst of those 5 somewhere. And if you are, I think you know what step you need to take. Because we all should be at the stage that Mary's at and being excited about telling people about Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, how incredible it is what you've done for us. Not only did you pay for our sins by dying on the cross, but you have victory over death. And the book of Romans does say that if we are with Christ, that we will also be resurrected bodily like he was. And Lord, that's hard for us to believe because we've never seen it happen. We only know the stories. We know that Jesus had the power to raise people from the dead because he did that more than once. But Lord, to know that you have victory over death and that the resurrection is real and that Jesus is alive, sitting at your right hand, praying for us right now. Lord, how incredible that is. Help us to walk this path, that we might have the same excitement that Mary had at the end of this passage, to run and tell, to proclaim that Jesus is alive. And that we, as the people of the church, can be alive also while we live here and for all eternity. Praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.